Wait, you want a woman to have opinions? I'm confused.
Yeah, I'm not racist.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James.
Jenna.
This is your doing. You understand. You
I've made peace
monster.
With
God damn it. All right. Well, that's what this drink is for. Shall we?
I love it when Salsa fucks with you.
God damn it. So, I stopped to pick up one of my favorite things, which is Gosling's ginger beer.
Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
When I'm performing, it's one of my favorite things because I feel like it keeps my voice in shape.
Mm-hmm.
It's also really satisfying to drink, and I don't get drunk because alcohol makes me feel too competitive, whether I am or not. I feel like I become too competitive.
So you fix this by putting booze in it.
Tonight. So,
so what did we put into it?
We put... in some Ben Romach.
We put in some whiskey.
Yeah.
Some whiskey.
We were gifted scotch by Cedius Scotchbringer.
Checks out.
Here's the thing. We were going to put some simple rye in there.
Yeah.
And then turns out we're out.
Yeah.
So the only thing we have left is scotch.
A few lovely people gifted
us some
scotches. And on their show, on the Scotch Tasting Podcast, one of the, like... most cutting remarks they have about any scotch is, oh, I'd add ginger ale to this.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I happen to be a fan of the Ben Romach, but I understand that it probably just makes it a really good additive to this ginger beer that I also enjoy.
It does the job.
All right.
Mmm. Mmm.
Oh.
I may have added some to my ginger beer.
Whew!
Whew! Yeah. Okay.
That just tastes like bubbly scotch now.
Kinda, yeah.
Hmm.
I may have put in more scotch than was strictly necessary.
Weird.
Yeah. I don't have a problem. You have a problem.
No, I don't. I don't have a problem with any of this.
All right.
Yeah.
So, hey, James, what you been up to?
A few things told quickly. I had a bunch of people over to your house on Monday.
Yeah, you did.
So thanks for that. A bunch of my beloved Boothies came over to share in an autumnal tradition that I have, which is the watching of Over the Garden Wall.
Which was adorable,
mm-hmm.
but still, like, creepy.
Yeah.
Like, it hit both at the same time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar, so.
Like, I may not recommend this for young children.
Okay.
Even though it's a Cartoon Network miniseries, and maybe they're ready for it, I don't know, but it's got, like, Grimm's Fairy Tales, violence, and spookiness.
Like, original?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think you're possibly misshaping.
Yeah.
What's going on? It is not about Grimm's fairy tales.
No.
It is a story that has Grimm fairy tale esque.
Yes.
Situations.
I
wanted to make sure that was clear.
Sure. Yeah. Certainly.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Good clarification.
Yes.
But. Yeah, one of my favorite quotes was, oh, now I'm feeling feelings. I didn't want feelings. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was right around episode 6 of 10. They're short episodes, so they're grouped in twos.
Yep.
Whole shebang will cost you $9.99 if you buy it somewhere.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Less than that if you steal it.
Well, that's kind of how stealing works, usually.
Yeah.
I'm just...
Thievery. We don't condone thievery.
No.
It, apropos of nothing.
No. As a matter of fact, I found out that the place where I had purchased it...
Don't we?
I mean, I don't.
But what kind of stealing are you talking about? Stealing someone's heart.
I condone that.
I've talked at length about picking people's pockets, so I think that I really can't.
I think there's a difference between having an ability and carrying that ability out in a negative way.
Yeah.
Okay, just against Taffy, though. That's okay.
Oh, no, that's totally do that. Fine. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought you meant for evil.
By the way, I don't know if I've mentioned this yet. Did I mention this? If I haven't yet, go ahead.
Yeah.
Taffy and I were outside Front Gate third weekend, I want to say. And the subject of pickpocketing comes up again, as it does when Taffy and I are together.
God damn it.
And he goes, you haven't been able to pickpocket me for a while. You know, and he was just like, ha, ha, ha. And I was like, oh?
Yeah, that's what I expected.
And he was like, well, no. You haven't done it for a few years now. You haven't.
Oh, my God.
And I was just like, Taffy. Have you ever found, like, a twig or a leaf inside your pouch and wondered how it got there? And he just goes, yeah. And then his eyes got really big, and he goes, you son of a bitch. Uh-huh. It was like, it stopped being fun taking it.
Oh, yeah.
After a while, it was just, see if I can slip this in there.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite
things that
Bryn has described about Adventures in Cardboard is that when they go to steal something, you know, when they have the Thieves Guild or whatever, right, and they go to steal something from a shop, instead of going up to the shop and taking something that somebody has worked on, they leave a sign or a little, like, token little that placard, they've created that says, stolen, -5 gold. Right? Like, they've stolen 5 gold from that shop by sneaking that in with the shop's things so that when they count their gold at the end of the day, they're down 5.
Nice.
Which that's is delightful.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was doing here. I was just leaving a calling card. But I've been doing it for a couple years without telling
you. Jesus Christ. I did that to a friend with bread. He was...
The audience can't hear my face
real,
right now, but...
They can. I feel like I can hear it. it's making a sound. So we were at Convergence, and he was starting to wander off a little too much and get Muppet-armed. So we were like, all right, we're getting kind of tired of this. And he was like, well, but I'm here. I'm going to go. And I was like, I'm going to take this bread, and I'm going to just put more and more and more of it into his bag until he notices.
Yep.
I don't think he noticed until he got home and unpacked his bag.
And there was a ton of bread in there, yeah.
But I got, I want to say, pretty close to a whole French loaf into his satchel before the end of the night. And the people that I was with, they're like, that's not going to fit in there. And I was like, not in one piece.
Nope.
No, so it was just like dabs, little grabs of bread. Absolutely, just, you know, like the kind of thing you would dip into olive oil and just like, boop. Tuck it into the pockets, tuck it into the, you know, wherever, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was a pain in the ass, and it's probably not nearly as funny to clean out as it was to do.
Yeah.
And I regret it. But I don't regret doing it.
No.
That's fair.
Yeah. So the other thing that I did this weekend, aside from Fest, of course, was to officiate somebody's wedding on a boat.
Saw the pictures.
Dressed as a sea captain.
It's okay, you can say it. Dressed as a seaman.
All right. Yes. I seamaned someone's wedding.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
had a blast.
Oh, God.
All right. So there was that.
Well done.
Yeah,
no,
thanks.
No, I like that one.
Oh,
that
God.
One
was
good. Yeah, me too. Felt good when I said it. And
you've done worse.
That's true.
Oh, way worse, yeah.
I mean, well, yeah. Wow, that is very true. no, so...
Have you ever paused to think about the things that you've said and just been taken aback by your own words? Because James did that.
Yeah, just now. So, my good friend Nate of former Awfulcopter fame had discovered the love of his life and wanted to be permanently legally bonded to that person. So, she also wanted that, and now they are.
Can we all do weddings now?
Yes.
Excellent.
Well, I haven't registered yet.
Oh, okay.
I have the license, but I haven't registered with the state.
Ah.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So I still need to do that.
Okay.
So I got it so I could officiate Melissa's wedding.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because Kesson was the one actually registering this with the state.
On right.
That. Right.
Yep.
But I still haven't done that last step.
Okay.
Gotcha. Well, if anybody rents us out for a wedding, then you'll need to.
Yeah. No, I know. It's one of those on my to-do list things that has just never been as big an issue.
Sure. Right.
So I've never gotten around to it.
But
I've got the paperwork. If it ever comes up, I can go to the fucking county and have it done in no time.
I did mine in Ramsey County instead of fucking county.
Mm. Oh, see there.
In retrospect,
that's where you're missing out.
Yeah. In retrospect, I feel like. It's
harder to get done in fucking county, though. Oddly enough.
I mean, I don't know. Mine was done in no time, and I feel like that would still be the case. Mm-hmm. So.
I'm okay with this.
So there's that, and it was a glorious time.
Yay!
Dancing, a small amount of drinking, and we stopped by. The Velveteen Speakeasy?
Rabbit?
Close. So close. The Velveteen Speakeasy.
I love that story.
Me too.
It's sweet.
Over in Stillwater, on the way home, the whole wedding party stopped there. And their drinks are real fucking good. I only got mocktails and woohoo.
Oh my God.
They were incredible.
So, tangent. Stillwater.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hip and edgy or overrated?
I'm going to say both.
I'm going to say neither.
Hmm. If this was a Fast Five, which would you go with?
I would go with overrated, but only because I believe it's overrated for the wrong reasons.
Ooh.
Elaborate?
A lot of people are like, oh, let's go to Stillwater and be like hipster whatever people. Mm-hmm. Like, it is a delightful little touristy tiny town type thing that is fun to enjoy unironically.
Yeah.
I don't think it's overrated, but I don't think it's edgy.
Hmm.
Fair. Okay.
I will say that there were a bunch of weddings happening in Stillwater.
All
on Saturday. Like, a grip of them. And
several. All trying to get pictures in the pagoda next to the river. And yeah.
Just so. It is pretty hip. We rode on a little trolley car to get around town that had been converted into kind of a tour bus, but it was a trolley car still, which is pretty hipster. And then as far as edgy, a bunch of those weddings were LGBTQIA+,
fair,
etc. Yeah.
Which is progressive, but I wouldn't call it edgy.
Which...
Yeah, that's no longer edgy.
I feel like in the 70s,
that was pretty edgy.
I think we forget, because it is progressive in Minnesota, that especially right now, it is kind of edgy.
I dislike the concept of it being edgy.
Me too.
I dislike the concept of it, and I don't think that that's an actuality in this area. And in fact, I saying that doing something LGBT as being edgy is like, it overhypes to me. Edgy to me is dangerous, and there shouldn't be anything dangerous about it.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed.
Should we put a pin in this?
Sure.
For now?
Sure.
Okay, I'd like to get through. We can talk about this in the second part,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Write that down. But I want to get through what we've been up to. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, you did a wedding.
Yes.
For Nate. And yes. It was great.
Nate was great.
It's great.
That's great.
Was he 8?
No.
Did he...
I mean, well, at some point...
Did he 8 something?
I assume between the ages of 7 and 9 that the man was at 1.8.
I mean, that's an assumption.
Did he procrastinate?
And you know what happens when you assume you are sometimes correct.
You know, I might retaliate.
That would then be your fate.
Damn straight.
Oh, great potentate.
Did you just say prostate?
Well, before we inflate this too far, go ahead.
Oh, bloody hell. What else did you have, James?
I mean,
okay.
It was, I had a lovely time. They stayed in the Agatha Christie suite of one of the bed and breakfasts, and I was like, that's ominous. And they were like, yeah. That's how I knew they were meant to be together. Well, I knew before that, but
I had an interesting weekend at the Renaissance Festival. First of all, as people may have heard last week, I broke my fucking toe, and that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But I was hoisted by my own petard.
I really thought of him as more of a Kirk guy.
On Saturday, I posted on social media a picture of my toe, which was fucking purple. And I know this. Fuck you, because I have people who looked at the picture and told me. but my toe was purple.
Yeah.
But I posted a picture on social media. I posted a picture on the social media that said, even a broken toe won't slow me down. 3 shows today, 3 shows tomorrow. And then I woke up on Sunday morning sick as a fucking dog.
Oh, salsa.
Well.
It wasn't my toe that stopped me. It wasn't my toe. I was ill. And so I didn't do shows on Sunday. But it was just like, I told everybody that not even a broken toe was going to slow me down.
And it didn't.
It didn't. You were correct.
But yeah, so I only did half a weekend this last weekend, and on the one hand, that sucks. On the other hand, I got to eat.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like, hunger drove me out of the tent at around noon, and I went up top looking to feast. And I had to be careful because my stomach was not happy with me, and so I was like, Caribbean, that sounds really good, but no.
Right.
Nope. Not Asian food, that sounds really good, but nope. Mm.
See, Asian food is like fried rice is one of those foods I can eat anytime.
Mm.
I suppose fried rice probably would have been okay, yeah. But like I was thinking the curry and stuff like that.
Sure.
Of
course you were.
But that's part of the problem. I haven't eaten out there in years.
Right.
I had no fucking idea what they even had. I was completely stumped. I was just like, they've got...
Who's its and what's its aplenty?
They've got the Asian booth.
That's who's its and what's its galore.
And there's like pizza somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, soup in a bread bowl. That's a thing that they do.
Do Did you drunk chili?
I was just seriously like, I don't know what food is out here anymore. I have no clue. Because I haven't eaten food at the Renaissance Festival in like 4 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I remember a thing. Before Fest started, they posted who the independent food booths were.
Yeah.
So I was like, ah, I'm going to look at that list and see if any of that looks appealing. And then they were just like, here's these four food booths that are in the 300 area. And I went, where's the 300 area?
Oh, honey.
Because this is something, for you listeners, this is something that each area of the festival, as far as the food booths go, there's a 100 area, 200 area, 300. So the food booths in that area
all of the booths have a
201, 202, 203, 204. You know, et cetera. So there's 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, and 800.
How numbers work, yeah.
But so there's 8 food areas numbered 1 through 8, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I know where 600 is.
Right.
Because the island in the middle of festival is called Inner 600. So I know that that's 600. I have no idea what the other ones are. Because I've never worked food out there.
Well, and it's somewhat confusing, too, because, like, especially in the Narrows, you'll have 700 along one side and 800 along the other.
Okay, I didn't even
wasn't
know that.
Down the area that's in the far southeast, where they have the King's Moat, it's just coming out of Mermaid Cove.
Okay.
I don't remember what that area is called, and that has two vastly different food booth groups together.
But
I think it's like the 300s and the 700s or something are crammed together.
But that's the thing you'll find is people who have done vending or food know those numbers. Because that's how they section out the festival.
Yeah.
You know, this is the 100 area. This is the 200. People who have only ever done entertainment, unless they have sought that knowledge out, that's just not a part of the world that matters.
So I've actually used this to great advantage working with patrons, helping describe where they need to go. When you open the programs, you look at that map, and it lists out which hundreds area.
Does it really?
Yep.
Oh.
It's very tiny along the booths.
Mm.
But it will say this is, you know, 600
to 680
or whatever. Well, and I only look to help patrons, but I was like, oh, see, because it's labeled right here. Like right here it says 600.
Okay.
So then when you're looking at the food in the thing, it'll say like 367, which means you can find it in 300, 600, 700 areas.
Oh.
Yep. So, like mini pancakes, you're only going to see a 3 next to it because it's only in the 300 area. So, yeah. Like, that's how you can help guide people to the food that they want to get to.
Nice.
It's the same thing with the merchants. The merchants have a listing, and they all have their shop numbers there. And it's, you know, it'll be 626 or whatever, and you point on the map, like, this is the 600 area. So.
This is the thing that I have experienced, and this is my experience, you know, results may vary, is that entertainers section out the festival by
the neighborhood name.
By neighborhood name. Or even more likely, stage.
Stage area, yep.
Whereas vendors and food people section it out by zone.
Yep, by the number.
And the food people talking to an entertainer will often be at cross purposes because the food person will be at, like, so we're in the 600 area.
Yep.
And the entertainer will be like, I don't know what that means.
Right.
I will meet you over at Crown Stage. And the food person goes, I don't know what that means.
Right.
Because that, you know, they're in two different worlds.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
Jack Spratt.
So that's the experience I had.
No, was, and I think that's a very common experience.
Right. But I was just like, I want food. I can have food.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where to find food.
Salsa, if you had run into me, we would have grabbed you a program. I would have pointed all of this out.
Well, I was lucky in that I ran into my father-in-law,
mm-hmm.
who told me about the apple dumplings with cinnamon ice cream over by the Stocks. And he told me over by the Stocks,
yeah.
which is how I found it.
Uh-huh.
And I had apple dumplings with cinnamon ice cream.
So 200.
And it was exactly what my stomach needed.
Yeah.
What?
So 200s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. I just learned something. Now I know that's the 200s. I didn't know that
I'm
before.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But yeah.
But either way, I didn't know that before. Mm-hmm. Now I know. But that was really tasty. And then I slunk back down to the campground and back into bed.
Aww.
One of my favorite restaurants this year is the King's Moat. They have alligator, and especially they have like a spicy...
What area are they located in,
alligator
James?
Alligator sausage, yeah.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Where are they located?
This is right on that cusp of the two areas that are like together, and I think it's... now that you say 200s, that the apple...
I think that's the
places in the 200s.
Yeah.
Yep. I think it's like the 200s and the... 700s or the 800s.
I know that.
Butt up
okay.
against each
so
other.
If you're starting at Kingsgate, right?
Yeah.
And you can either go to the right or the left. You get to that kind of pseudo forky
mm-hmm.
area.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that one side is 100 and one side is 200.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% which is which.
Or 200% which is which.
I'm pretty sure that the Stocks is the 200 and the, like, over with the cloaks and headed towards bakery is 100.
That seems right.
Fairly confident.
Yep.
But yeah. I get them flipped in my brain a lot, so I make no promises.
Fair enough. So, I have been enjoying, especially their fried green tomatoes.
Oh.
Are spectacular.
See, the thing is that I don't actually get down into that area unless it's like opening or closing gate time.
Or you're hunting for me in
I
Salsa.
Spend, oh, Jesus, fuck you guys. But I spend the majority of my time on the north end of the festival.
Mm-hmm.
I like to play over at Queensgate.
Mm-hmm.
I like to kind of... I like to play along, like, the Boss Wench area mm-hmm. in Folkestone. There's not a lot of other entertainers down there. And since I have to go to the campground to clean the showers in the middle of the day
sure,
anyway...
Sure, that helps because it's close to your out.
Yeah, I may as well entertain in an area that doesn't see massive amounts.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I've kind of made it my bitch. Yeah. Cool.
You're right. The map does have numbers.
Was I right about the 200s?
I can't read them. They're too pixelated.
They are real fucking tiny.
They're too pixelated. I'm trying to zoom in on the computer, and the scan that they have is pixelating by the
enhance.
Time I can... Yeah, but...
enhance.
But, yeah, the numbers are there.
Yep.
Well, I might have to look this up and actually learn these.
I know, right?
Yeah. Now I also want to know.
Yeah.
I know a bunch of the areas, like Folkestone is the 500s, because I used to mm-hmm. be the hawker for that whole fucking area.
Oh. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But,
Also, there's a tamale booth. I don't think it's independent, but, they've got some fine-ass tamales in 500 area.
Ooh. Those might be independent.
Maybe not. I know that they were all speaking Spanish, so, you know. Mm-hmm.
Some of the independent booths, I don't know if it's all of them, but some of them have independent written at the bottom of one or more of their menus.
Oh.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, for example, I know for a fact that King's Moat has it.
Okay.
Where is this?
King's Moat is the one that I was just talking about with the alligator.
But where is it?
Right. It's right on the border between the area that Jenna was describing as
where's
the 200s.
Where's the stage that it's closest to?
It's not. It's between... I want to say it's between the Robin Hood stage and the stocks, and like it's almost across from the Queen's Pub.
Oh, across from, so okay. So down the lane from Sherwood Stage, between Sherwood and Troubadour.
Sounds right.
Okay.
It's, like I said, almost exactly at the output of Mermaid Cove.
I don't know. Okay. Yep, okay.
Agate-ish.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many different ways can we say the same
over,
area?
Over by the Calzone place.
Jenna, what did you do? This has got to be so fascinating for our listeners. Like, there's three of them that are like, oh, Jenna, no, what where is he talking about?
Eric Knight rest right of them, now is screaming
and Australia
his...
right now is like, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Oh, I had a good conversation with her on Facebook today.
Did you? Oh, yeah. Good. I miss her.
Yeah, she posted a video of snow, of her experiencing snow.
Aww.
And I was like, you got to come to Minnesota. This could be a thing. And she was like, fuck no in the winter.
No, come experience snow in the summer or spring.
No, I was just like, hey, come on. It averages like negative 10 Celsius here in the winter. It's not that bad.
Oh my God.
And she's like, no, I prefer like...
That's only because it's 90 some days.
Yeah.
In the winter.
What was the thing I saw? It was Welcome to Minnesota. It's winter at 6 a.m., it's summer at noon, it's fall at 4:15.
Mm-hmm. And it's winter again by sundown.
Winter again by sundown.
Yeah.
Spring, that's what I missed.
Yeah. Nobody really cares about spring.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm only going to tell one story. Okay. We've got 18 million of them.
Sure.
But I'm going to tell the one. Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I lied. I am going to say two things.
Okay.
Hey, I'm nominated for an award.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I have been nominated for the Late Bloomer Award, along with Esther.
Aww.
And Rachel.
Wow. Fuck. Well, I don't know who to hope for.
That's my problem!
Yeah. For those that don't know, Rachel is Salsa's sister-in-law. So, yep. I was going to say something like, so when Salsa's voting, he's going to have to decide who he loves more, but it's definitely Rachel. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's
anything. No, that's the thing is it, for me, it was a three-way tie.
Mm.
If I didn't have a familial bond to be a tiebreaker, I would have been agonizing over that fucking one, because that's a fucking hard choice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a few hard choices this year.
Yeah, there are. Yeah. So, yeah, it's my 28th season contracted at the Renaissance Festival, mm-hmm. and finally I may have something figured out as to, you know, how to go about doing all these things. So.
Nice.
You know, late bloomer.
Fucking Nettie's
there. All right.
But, yeah, so that happened over the weekend. The nomination. I won't find out for another week and a half, but I'll definitely let listeners know who takes that one. And then the other thing that happened was Sunday morning. I got dressed up in a pretty court gown, which delighted the fuck out of James. I went to walk up to a fencing booth, and it was Esther and I were walking towards the booth, and Esther was like, Jenna, you gotta look at James's face. And I look up, and like, there are hands to his cheeks, and his eyes are giant, and his mouth is this surprised, delighted face, and I think he was like making noises like ee! Or something.
I was both surprised and delighted, so yeah. That is entirely possible.
But I put on the court gown so that I could play Milady de Winter.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know, that is one of the villainous characters in The Musketeers.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Musketeers this year.
Yes.
So I put on a court gown and went to go fuck with them is basically what happened. Because this is how I friend. And
accurate.
Yes.
Entirely accurate.
And it took me a little bit longer than I wanted to like actually get into the character and start feeling comfortable with it. But it happened. I got there. And then I couldn't find the goddamn Musketeers. Like, I got into this thing, and then I couldn't find them, and I was like, son of a bitch. Mm. And I was like, wait a minute. I know where I'll be able to find them. End of parade.
Oh.
Yes. So, end of parade, I'm standing there, and the Musketeers pass by in parade, and I'm eyeing them, and they're eyeing me, and there's so they peel off, but the rest of the parade's still going. So I grab a kid, not like physically, I just, you know, hey buddy,
right.
Grab a patron kid, and I'm like, hey, I need you to deliver a message for me.
Oh fuck.
And I had this patron child, 7, 8-ish, go over to the Musketeers and deliver the message. De Winter says she knows what you did. And they picked up on the game, and for probably about 20 or so minutes, I was 40 feet away from the Musketeers, and we were grabbing patrons and sending messages back and forth. you know, little patron messenger game going on, which mm-hmm. was delightful. You try to grab family groups with kids.
Sure.
Because number one, kids love that stuff. They like having a purpose. They like having mm-hmm. a thing to do. The adults are delighted because we're entertaining their kids for like, 5 minutes, but still, like, mm-hmm. yeah. So throughout the exchange, various messages were given back and forth. Earlier in the exchange, the Musketeers sent me a flower. Now, what was supposed to happen was the message from the patron was supposed to be, please accept our apologies, and then to take the flower and throw it on the ground. That's not what the patron did. The patron said, they say, please accept their apologies, and handed me the flower. So there now I have a flower.
Yeah.
And what I assumed was a botched message, because that seemed way too nice for the character dynamic we had built up.
Right.
And so, like, there was a bit more back and forth, more back and forth, more back and forth. And the last message I got from them was a group of about 7 teenagers, tweens, something, all going...
Mm-hmm. Literally of can't evens. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, oh my God. So that was a delightful message. And I was like, all right. So I feigned offense. And then I lucked out in a large family grouping of about 7 or 8 patrons
mm-hmm.
with an adorable little 5-year-old girl. She's 5. She had like blonde curly hair. The cute little pink dress, like, mm-hmm. we're talking full-on, just stereotypical that.
Right.
And so I stopped them, and I asked this little girl, I'm like, would you be willing to deliver a message for me? And she goes, yes. I say, this is a very important message. Okay. So I give her the flower, and I say, I need you to... walk over to those men in the blue capes, say, this is from De Winter, take the flower, throw it on the ground, and stomp on it. Can you do this? This is very important. And she goes, I understand. I'm like, okay. So I'm watching this 5-year-old with her entourage, and all of the adults are just delighted by this. They're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And they bring it over, and I assume the little girl delivered the message, may or may not have been helped out.
Right.
But then she takes the flower, she places it on the ground, and she stomps on it. And then she looks at this flower like she's analyzing, assessing the stomp, and then stomps on it again. And then stomps on it again. And she is stomping on this flower for 5 fucking minutes. But not out of anger. She is not angry. She is not frustrated. She is simply doing her duty. This 5-year-old has all of the seriousness that any 5-year-old girl could ever muster. Hmm. Like, she has channeled the just great gravity of the situation. And she is going to... By God, she is going to complete this task to the utmost ability and completion by stomping the ever-living shit out of this flower. And... I look over and this girl just keeps stomping on this thing, and the musketeers are losing their shit, and the family's losing their shit, and another group off to the side is like, oh my God, what's going on there? And I'm like... All right, my work here is done, and I leave. I'm just like, well,
All right.
So yeah, that was a very, very that was the highlight interaction of my weekend.
That's delightful.
There were groveling contests. There was, I got to test out some peasant furniture when I was in the court gown. I got to, it was so much fun. So many great, wonderful interactions and bits and everything. But that fucking 5-year-old, that little girl just very determinedly stomping the ever-living shit out of that flower. I couldn't even. I ran out of evens.
Yeah.
So.
That's delightful.
So good.
For the clarification, for the imagination of the audience... is peasant furniture made of peasants?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. There were three the henchmen.
Yeah.
As Esther and I were walking along in our lady our regalnesses is our grandiose pretty dresses. The three of them did bowing. And all of the bows were in manners that resembled furniture to me.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So I decided I needed to inspect this. And I got to... I mean, one person was basically hands and knees, and so I got to sit on them. And then another one was kind of a leany, recliny thing. And, like, every time, like, right beforehand, I'm, like, under my breath, is it good to lean? Am I good to lean a bit? And they're like, yep. I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, I'm checking in with them, but I'm just like, we good? We good. Cool. And, yeah, like, but, yeah, peasant furniture.
Nice.
Basically, I got to
a weird bit.
Test.
Yeah. I can appreciate the oddity of that.
Yep. It happened to happen in a place that didn't have a lot of people in the area. I was a little sad we didn't get more visibility on that one, but...
Yeah.
Sometimes you do a bit in a fairly secluded area because it just happens to be there, and you got to keep in practice.
Kyle was bitterly sad that he let one fly in one of the back areas in front of a bunch of the kids that wander around swapping out the trash bags because they started to harass him.
Yeah,
not harass him, but just joke around with him. And he was like, something that you always have to remember is this that I'm about to tell you. And it was just
God damn it.
And then he just turned around and left. And he was like, God damn it, I wish that had been in front of people who weren't working here. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Salsa, do we have time for one more? We don't have to.
No, I think we're already at 45 minutes.
Okay.
Take a break?
I kind of figured we were getting there, so.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Sweet.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
James, we were talking about a thing.
Yeah, we were talking about...
Huh?
You've got it written down. What were we talking about?
We were talking about our LGBTQIA plus weddings considered edgy.
And Jenna, take it away. you had opinions on this, so I'm just...
I do. So, I don't... And I think maybe it depends on how you define edgy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't... Edgy to me is something, like... that's making your mind bend or dangerous or, you know, something that is hard... Like, skydiving.
Mm-hmm.
Skydiving or ziplining or something like that might be more of an edgier thing. Having... And it, here's the thing. Maybe it's I've seen too many stand-ups do edgy comedy.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's...
I think that's where I'm starting to get, like... You know what I mean? Like, it's... And I don't like the idea of something that should just be a fucking thing.
Yeah. Based on that description, I would 100% agree. I don't think it's edgy, and I also agree that I want it to be just normal. I don't want it to be something progressive and, like, fucking the edge of... I don't want it to even be my definition of it, which is, you know, that it's pushing culture toward something new.
Right.
Which is, for me, that's...
I mean, that is what it is, edge. Because we haven't had, you know... the ability until recently, let alone whatever, but yeah, so I mean, like, understanding that as society is right now, doing something that should be a norm that isn't currently a norm is progressive or, you know, pushier even, but yeah, edgy, I think, is where I was really having a problem.
Based on that definition, I would agree, and like I said, I just want it to be a thing that people can do. And it, when I was there, it was.
Yeah.
Because it was just, a row of four plus wedding signs. This person and this person, this person and this person, this person and this person, and then this person and this person. And some of them were... not heteronormative couples.
Right.
And I thought that was fucking awesome, one. Two, it reminded me, in these dark times, it reminded me that Minnesota, even where we border areas of the country that are traditionally very staunchly right-wing and...
You know,
I
have a thing to say about that. I don't think we border. In the Twin Cities proper and some other metro-y type areas, there's a lot of progressive. But you start to get out into some more of the more rural areas.
Yeah.
I mean, Minnesota for the 2020 election is... there is a thought that it's going to be... a state that is fought over between the sides because, all right. So Joe and I last April went up to Duluth, and one of the things we did there is we saw a comedy show, and there was a comedian that was like, "How many people here are Democrats?" And there was applause. "How many people here are Republicans?" And there was applause.
Yeah,
about the same amount, possibly slightly more.
Hmm.
And then, you know, the third one was, how many people are just fucking tired of all of this bullshit? And, you know, round of applause. But Like, way more cheering for that than anything else. But yeah. the fact that, you know, it was hard to determine who was more in which camp was unnerving to me.
Yeah.
And that's not, I mean, that's Duluth, which is more metro than not. Like, it's a smaller town, but it's still, you know, like, pretty heavily populated. And
I guess I would agree.
Yeah.
Like, with that, because even down in Shakopee during Fest, which tends to be pretty progressive as far as heteronormativity, is an area where I've seen a lot more people actively campaigning their right-wing beliefs and demanding jokes, which we don't give them, sharing with us jokes that I find deeply inappropriate. So
like, it's easy for us to where we're at and with the people that we surround ourselves with, think of Minnesota as a progressive state. But we're kind of borderline right now. We're something that's gotten a, I mean, yes, we are holding on to it. Yay.
Yay.
Good. But like, and especially St. Cloud.
Yeah.
Oh my God, St. Cloud. Get it together.
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I love a lot of people and things that come out of St. Cloud. Mm-hmm. But there's an awful lot going down there right now that is, it's like this little pocket of, ugh.
That was where I got a job, where an employer asked me if it bothered me. It's like, well, what do you do when people think you're gay because you have long hair? And I didn't really know where to start on that. And he was like, doesn't that bother you? And I was like, no. Next question. Is there... no.
So yeah, I don't think we should rest easy in our progressiveness of
The Twin Cities is a bubble,
yeah,
surrounded by a lot of less. So
really,
yeah.
Well, and it's easy to feel safe when you are with friends who are also progressive and who are genderqueer, who are, you know, racially diverse, who are whatever thing people are actively campaigning against elsewhere. And recently I've been in places where that is not the case. Without getting specific about it. And I had forgotten how uncomfortable that is.
Yeah.
I had forgotten how uncomfortable that is.
I mean, it's not just that, like, not this last weekend, but the weekend before. During Hat Pass, Robin Hood. Apparently somebody had said, well, apparently they're now allowing spick Robin Hoods.
Holy fucking shit!
Yep.
Somebody said that. And
what?
Lewis, to his credit, fucking just ignored the shit out of that and it just went about his day, but that was a thing that was said. So, yeah, it's really easy to forget sometimes that those people are out there.
Fuck, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's absolutely heart-wrenching and disgusting. But that's out there.
Yep.
Here in Minnesota.
And it's not as far away as we...
In this blue state.
Would like.
There it is, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like in a state that has, for a while, been considered a blue state, it might be that people who disagree violently with us are becoming louder and more outspoken in the hopes of making us feel like we're not welcome.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I don't know.
Vote. Go vote.
Yeah.
Go vote.
Yeah.
And vote. Like every election.
Hmm.
Every election, go vote. Yeah. Go vote. Also go vote.
Vote early. Vote once.
Yes.
Per
vote as often as you are legally allowed to. Life.
Right, vote often. vote
and,
legally.
And vote educated.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do not just soundbite your way through this shit. What? Like, yeah. Educate yourself, please.
Don't, if you have the option in some elections to not necessarily toe the party line, but to vote independent or vote green or those kinds of things, I mean, there are elections where that is a lot easier and a lot more likely to be successful.
There was a one of those video GIF type things.
Heath? Yeah.
I can't remember if it was a video or a GIF, mm-hmm. but it was. It showed blue and red dots depending on for like I think it was Senate.
Mm-hmm.
For which party background they came from, but then there were also lines that connected partnership on various bills.
Mm-hmm.
And like starting from, I think it started in the 80s, there was so many cross connections, so much cross connection.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just saw more and more separation over like the past 10 years even.
Mm-hmm.
Making it way more difficult to get anything done.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, showing, and especially the last couple of years, especially was just like, nope.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like watching that become more and more of a thing, I think it was easier when we had, when the great state of Minnesota, voted for Jesse Ventura. As an independent that ran and
yeah.
took it, it was easier in that climate to actually be able to do so and to have things yeah. get accomplished.
Yeah.
I think in this climate, the way things have shifted at this point, I find it much harder
mm-hmm.
for that to be a thing that could happen and actively,
yeah.
positively influence things.
Well, in some elections, you get to vote for who you think is the best candidate, and in other elections, you have to vote against the person you think is the worst.
Yeah.
And
I love... So, Maine is doing runoff voting.
Hmm.
No, that's not the right term.
Ranked choice,
yep. Thank you. My brain just flipped.
For some reason, I was right with you on that.
So
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ranked choice is mathematically and representatively shown
good.
To be the best option
so yeah.
for voting and getting the outcomes that best represent the people.
Right, which might be why our two major parties have a vested interest in not doing that. I don't know. I don't want to. I'm not putting on a tinfoil hat for this podcast.
No.
I could see that if you are part of a major party, that continuing a two-party system is definitely an advantage. I don't think necessarily anybody is taking steps, making plans,
no,
committing skullduggery in order to skulls. In order to make Decker. That happen, but yeah, the way that we vote now, it basically forces us to pick one or the other.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ranked choice is so much better.
Yeah. It is. It's a proven fact.
I don't think we're going to get that for 2020.
Well, not here. But Maine will.
I think it's too late for that.
Yeah. Maine has Maine's presidential election will be a ranked choice.
That's
in,
amazing.
In their area. Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. Because the thing is, I think that if we took the letters off of people's placards
on the ballot.
Yeah, if we made people vote based purely on the name and the ideas that are attached to that person's name.
Which again goes for me goes back to the whole vote with
knowledge. Yeah.
Yep.
It don't just sit there going, well, I've never heard of these two people, but this person has a D versus their name, and this person has an R next to their name.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I just will do this thing. Like,
because
Because
there is not a law in most polling places against Googling people.
I do that.
I have also done that.
And I have done that in the past. Now I do all of that beforehand, and
I try
it all written down on my phone.
You can, so that everybody's aware, you can get a sample ballot to see, for your area, to see who is there. Mm-hmm. And you can look all of that up ahead of time. You can fill out your sample ballot and then just fucking...
You are allowed to make a cheat sheet
for
yourself.
This is an open book test, you guys.
Yep.
I had gone through with that, and I knew, I want to say, 90% of the answers that I wanted to provide on my ballot. Some of them, for some reason, in my district, were not on my sample ballot.
Interesting.
So. I think that can happen dependent on various things, but yeah.
Yeah. But even so, knowing 90% of your answers and Googling the remaining 10% is...
You are allowed to take as much time as you want.
Mm-hmm.
You are allowed to look everything up.
Mm-hmm.
You can spend 4 fucking hours... sitting there with your ballot, looking up, verifying all of that, and please do.
Take as much time as you need.
Right.
Preferably before you get there, but if you do get in a situation where something appears on the ballot that you weren't expecting, look that shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And here's the thing. You can... Not marking a circle is okay, too.
Also that.
Like, there have been times where there is someone on the ballot who's running unopposed who I just fucking didn't like, and I did not vote for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
End of story.
Knowing that it doesn't mean anything, but I've done a write-in. Like, you know.
But it ultimately won't make any difference. But but you have that right as a citizen to do that.
Well, the results come out, how many votes somebody got, if they see that that person ran unopposed and they still got 100 votes instead of
1,000,
1,000 votes, that may encourage somebody to step up and oppose. Like, that kind of thing. And I guess no matter what your affiliation and interests are, be human to others and kind. And
I don't know why that's so difficult for some people.
I don't know.
Sometimes you guys make it difficult for me, but
I get that. Like, I'm not saying us. If we were on the ballot, holy shit,
don't vote for us.
Fucking open game. But seriously, just I was thinking about this the other day. Just the general fact that some people are just so callous about other people.
Yeah,
right.
Makes no fucking sense to me. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Right.
I understand where it can come from.
Yeah.
Like, usually somebody that is, overly callous or whatever has had similar done to them.
Mm.
Or they are so caught up in their own anxieties and need to control that they are categorizing. In an effort to have some semblance of control.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you know, you can start to dehumanize people that way,
mm-hmm.
and treat people poorly, which sucks all around. Because, you know, it sucks to have that feeling of a lack of control or you know, self-identity type things, whatever. but fucking stop it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, like, that sucks, but, dude.
This is one of the arguments that Matt and I had repeatedly.
Because
he had this kind of libertarian I got mine viewpoint, and I just... I never, in the entire time that Matt and I knew each other, I never understood it.
Yeah.
I couldn't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I do want the freedom to be able to do, you know, whatever I want to a certain extent. Part of what I want is for other people to be able to, like,
I know, right?
live and succeed. I don't,
and
yeah.
not have their lives and... well, being threatened on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah.
And that really shouldn't be a lot to ask.
It just seems so obvious to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Especially when the same people, I've noticed an overlap in the people who are threatening my friends and family and self. That these are also the same people who are like, well, what about my well-being? What about my right to speak? What about my heritage? What about my pride? What about my everything? And
why does somebody else having rights and abilities threaten you? What about somebody else being treated like an equal or you know, with hell, even given opportunities, speaks against you?
Because equality negates supremacy? And I mean, that's a good thing.
I don't think that's a because, but sure. Like, I...
For those people
I'm talking about as an individual. Oh, what does that do? Dick all. It does nothing. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's...
Anyway.
It's baked in with fear and...
Yeah.
Yeah,
as said earlier. Yeah, yeah. It's all about that fear, lack of control thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, to a certain extent, I kind of wish we had something in our society to deal with that wasn't... that was actively effective to handle those kinds of situations. Because those are still... valid issues. Those are still valid emotional difficulties to be overcome. You're fucking doing it wrong, buddy. Like, you're not... No, that's not how you fix that.
Right.
It's
you don't make yourself less afraid by basting yourself in and bathing in a bathtub of fear and hatred.
So, but there is a part of me that feels like, yeah, we've kind of failed some of those people, too.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, if we want to fix this problem, we also have to consider the contributing factors into that mindset and do something about that.
A lot of the people who are seeding that fear and preying upon it are... benefiting from people who are under, like, the lower working class, and who are being crushed by being underpaid and everything like that. And it's easy to say, well, you know, we would have more to give you if these other people weren't there, when in reality,
like,
everybody should just be getting more.
It's definitely been abused for power. I highly recommend checking out the series The Power of Nightmares.
Ooh.
I've recommended this about 18 million times on this podcast, I think. But if you haven't checked it out, check it out. Power of Nightmares, it's a three-part BBC miniseries, and it talks about the rise of neoconservatism and how it parallels the rise of Middle Eastern politics.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been making a comparison in my personal life between the religious right in the United States and the rise of...
Watch the miniseries.
Yeah.
Watch.
So this is exactly it. My kind of interest.
Yeah. Watch it, because it talks... It goes through... various people that were influential in specific mindsets, mm-hmm. and conceptualizations, mm-hmm. that built both of those areas up.
Hmm.
And yeah, it's just watch it.
Yeah.
Watch it and come back to me.
Cool. Well, I'm glad we have solved all of the world's problems.
Yes. Victory is ours.
And so we're going to take a break and come back.
Well-deserved
yep.
break.
Whew. Good work, everyone.
God, yeah.
Raises all around.
All right. No, God. Can I get double my salary?
Yes. Cool. You get a second Dr. Tiki.
Yes. Dr. Tiki. Dr. Tiki. Dr. Tiki.
We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Butt stuff!
Butt stuff.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
God damn, it's good to be the king.
Butt stuff.
You know, as much as we say on this podcast...
What?
Go on.
I almost feel like more gets said off the podcast. Perhaps even between the podcast.
How about a Fast Five?
Fast Five!
For those that do not know... The Fast Five works like this.
Ma'am?
You, that's right, you, the dear listener, sends us two emails. The first one contains nothing but five
only two.
Choices.
Wait,
only two.
And only fucking two, Mav. The first one contains nothing but five choices. We don't know what these choices mean. We only know that we have to choose one. It is only after that we open up the second email and find out what it all means. So today's Fast Five comes to us from... Stefan!
Yay, Stefan!
Who?
We don't have a theme for Stefan yet.
That's fair. We'll have to come up with something.
All right.
The subject line of this says, OMG WTF BBQ.
I love barbecue.
Ooh. I know, right?
Mm.
Stefan says, hello!
Hello.
Hello.
A little James told me that you need a Fast Five tonight.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Ah.
All right.
Question number one.
Bing.
Morris dancers?
Ooh.
Or Scottish dancers?
Oh, Morris dancers.
Which are more annoying?
Oh.
Morris dancers.
Morris dancers. That's
yes.
Just because my wife did it, I'm going to go Scottish dancers.
That's aww. Fair. That's very sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm probably wrong, but very sweet.
Oh, entirely probably. Question number two.
Yeah.
Sky chairs.
Oh.
Or benches.
Oh.
I am more likely to steal a bench for my yard decor than a sky chair.
I've spent more time on and slept on more benches.
Yeah.
Especially around the fencing booth.
I believe this.
Especially our fencing booth benches. Specifically our real fucking
James,
good.
We need to get a sky chair for the fencing booth.
Oh, shit. Oh shit, we do.
Why isn't there a sky chair?
Why isn't there a sky chair for the fencing booth?
This is like the question on news radio that was like, you want a couch? Yes. In the men's room? Yes. If there was a couch in the men's room, would you want to sit on it? Oh, no.
But there is one in the women's room.
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess I don't really get the appeal of the sky chairs, so I'm going to go with bench. I have nothing against them, don't get me wrong, but I don't see why there's such...
My parents had them, and they are for me more comfortable and easier to use than a hammock.
But that's the problem, is they kind of have that same problem that hammocks do, is that you get in and then you just kind of are squished on the sides.
I don't have that problem, but I'm also tiny.
Yeah, you are tiny.
Give me a big fucking fluffy couch or a chair or a lazy boy or something like that.
Yeah.
Where I can just fucking spread out and with my gut I will.
I can sleep on almost any couch.
A sky chair is just I feel like my butt goes down, and as my butt goes down, my shoulders go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have that problem.
I'm
going sky chair because I can and you can't.
Ooh, that's a good answer. My parents' sky chair had a crossbar that held it open.
Yep.
No, it still has that, but it still comes down to a point.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, cradle you like a lazy boy.
I was also a younger man at the time that they had that, and I was, like, 175, 185 pounds all throughout high school, so...
Which is still bigger than me.
And I'm, like, 60 or 70 pounds heavier than that now. Mm-hmm. So,
Pick
bench
now.
Bench all day.
Okay.
All
right.
Bench all day.
Question number three. Closing gate or volley club?
Oh.
Volley club at closing gate. Duh.
I think this is going to be what thing that doesn't happen anymore did you prefer?
Except that volley club is happening.
They were playing volley? Yeah, but Stefan might not know that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Especially because this was written on the August 20th, so almost a month ago.
I would go volley closing club, gate for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't juggle.
Volley club.
I like watching juggling.
I love volley club.
I know, honey. You may have mentioned that.
I like volley club
once or twice.
How do you feel about volley club, Salsa?
Volley club.
But what about volley club?
What about club volley?
I wouldn't party there.
Closing
gate.
I'm going to go with closing gate because I've participated in closing gate, but I have not participated in volley club and would be terrible at it.
Question number four.
Bing.
Robin Hood.
Ooh.
Or the washing well winches.
Oh.
So both of these are water-based shows.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go Robin Hood because swords.
I mean, I have stage obligations.
Yeah.
Robin Hood. But is it a positive or a negative is the question.
Oh. That's a good question.
I'm going to go positive, and so I'm going to go Robin Hood.
I'm going to assume positive. And
that's not to say the washing well wenches don't put on a fucking good show.
No, they put on an amazing show.
They're incredible. That's why they have a stage that is theirs.
But only one of them has Seamus.
Yeah.
And I have like a deep and abiding like affection for Seamus's craft with splashing the audience.
Bucket.
So I was regaled with.
Dear
stories
listeners,
of splashing the audience.
For those that do not know, the Robin Hood show, they do combat on a bridge and then throw each other into a pond.
Yeah.
The pond is between the bridge and the audience, so when they throw each other in, they splash the audience.
Mm-hmm.
You have got to spend a few hours backstage with them as they talk about
different ways to fall into the water
as
to
permitted.
Maximize the splash. Because it is fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
It is. You do not understand how much these people who make silly kindergarten jokes and jump in water think about things like fluid dynamics and angle and trajectory and things like wow.
Yeah.
I love that sort of thing.
And the Washing Well Wenches are incredible at their show, but I have to go. But also, I know most of the people sweetest. In the Robin Hood show.
Yeah, they're also the sweetest people I've
They are incredibly sweet.
And extremely funny.
Yes.
The one that does the black haired one at Fest, I've seen her do other clowning with her husband.
Sure.
They do a slapstick act.
Nice.
Together. And fucking hysterical.
Aww.
So funny.
If you ever go to the Robin Hood show.
And I do.
And weird. And you are sitting in one of the splash rows, which is any and all of them. And if somebody falls into the water and you get splashed and you think to yourself, that was just random happenstance. There was no way that they were targeting this seat particularly. You're wrong. You're very wrong. Sometimes they'll just pick you because you look too dry.
There was one, they were...
How dry there was
one. I am. They were really, really proud of this one. Because Jen got thrown in the water. She plays Mad Marion. And as she's going in, there's a kid who starts to run to the side. Because like he realizes he's about to get drenched. So he starts to run to the side. And so she like angles and just nails him in the back.
Yes. God, that's good.
Yeah. So there's that. I gotta go with Robin Hood.
Yeah, I think it's Robin.
Question number
Hood
five: around. Saturday or Sunday?
Also, my friend Casimir's on that stage.
Saturday. By the time Sunday rolls around, I'm fucking done.
Yup.
Saturday is the day that I'm still like, let's fucking do this.
Yeah. Also, Saturday has Saturday nights in it.
That.
Saturday night.
Although usually the best stuff happens Sunday morning. Ooh.
We open up our second email and find out that it's number one, Morris dancers or Scottish dancers.
Okay.
Ooh. Who are the more disruptive dance group
when
performing on the Bears? I got to change to Morris.
I got to go to Scottish dancers.
Really?
Yeah, because you can hear them fucking a mile away.
But the Scottish dancers, once they start, they kind of just do their thing. Whereas Morris dancers are like, we're Morris.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Morris.
I got to go with Morris on that
one.
Right. Question number two, sky chairs or benches?
All right.
Which is the better place to watch the Morris dancers on the Bear stage?
Benches.
Yep.
Question number three.
Jesus Christ, James.
Closing gate or volley club? Oh.
There's something wrong.
Interesting spin. Which event was more fun to shout jokes in unison at? Volley club still for me, but...
I never got to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it was just, hey, Mick, you suck, but...
I mean, that's fine, yeah.
Yeah, but still.
God...
He's part of the danger committee now?
Yeah. And easily the best juggler that was ever out there on the volley club field.
Yeah.
Which is why he was targeted all the time as, hey, Mick, you suck.
I mean, that makes sense.
God, I don't know. Both. Fuck.
I love riffing a show. I feel bad about hazing athletes, so I'm going to go with closing gate.
Yeah, we would play volley club, and Tim Wick would be at the side with the peanut section.
Yep.
and Tim Wick would say something, and then 1, 2, 3, and then everybody would yell it. And that's how that worked.
That sounds like real good.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah. Huh.
Question number 4, Robin Hood or the Washing Well Wenches? Which water-heavy show is more fun to watch?
Oh.
Yeah, I don't...
That's a real close call on that one. They're both really fun. But I think
I think
the Sword's got to take it.
Yeah.
Question number 5, Saturday or Sunday? If you could take one weekend day off...
Oh. Okay,
if you could take one weekend day off of Labor Day weekend in exchange for Monday, which would you choose?
Sunday.
So Saturday, Monday?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think I agree, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, I would sleep in.
Sorry.
No.
I would that. Go to sleep Sunday morning, and I would wake up Monday morning.
Monday.
Yeah.
See you sometime this weekend.
Yay!
Yay,
Senpai!
If you would like to send in a Fast 5, send 2 Mav. 2 emails.
Send 2 Mavs?
Yeah, send 2 Mavs.
Oh, one is more than enough.
AOPodcast.com. The first one should contain nothing but 5 choices, and the second one should repeat those 5 choices and then give us some context so we know what the fuck it is we're talking about. Is there any... Shout-outs. Who's got the shout-out?
I do.
Yes. Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to my co-nominees for Late Bloomer.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that we're all three friends. We all three grew up at the Renaissance Festival.
Yeah, you're all Ren Rats.
We're all Ren Rats. We're all friends. And I think any one of us would be delighted to see any one of us win.
Mm-hmm.
And we have plans. We have plottings.
Oh, goodness.
We've been discussing what the awards ceremony should look like.
I, for one, am terrified.
I was going to be there anyway, but now I'm really going to be there.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that all three of us are like, yeah, Late Bloomer Award would be cool, but that would be cool for any of us, and I would be equally as happy to see one of you win it than to win it myself. And we're all, and like, that's not bullshit.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is an actual, yeah. Yeah, that'd be real cool.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I've got to give my shout out to them. And may the best feminine Ren Rat win.
Or just one of you three, because you're all really great.
Fucking hate you, you son of a bitch.
I don't know about best. I think you're all best.
You're stealing my thunder, James.
Uh-huh.
I was being all, like, good and sweet and stuff, and then you're like, no, I'm gonna top that. Well, fuck you, asshole.
James, just say your shout-out. Just do it.
All right. Shout-out to the happy couple.
Ooh.
Nate and Becca.
Yay!
It was wonderful to be the sea captain on your nuptial voyage.
Yay!
Yeah. Yeah, motherfucking yay.
Salsa.
I'm going to give my shout out to the apple dumplings with cinnamon
ooh,
ice cream.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Who saved me in my hour of need and are also the first fast food I have eaten in years.
It's a good choice.
Good job.
It's a good choice.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
You didn't suck. Good on you.
Yeah. Yeah, their ice cream is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're owned by the same folks that do the crepes, so you can get ice cream from that booth on the crepes.
Well, in 4 years, when I have this again, then I will absolutely do that.
Do it.
Who's got anything to plug?
All right. I'm going to give y'all a heads up. I don't have a link yet. But next Wednesday, there will be auditions for a new Klingon Christmas show.
Hey.
It's An Honorable Life.
That sounds so good.
Yes. I will be doing the fight choreography for it.
Nice. Well, they picked someone good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there will be auditions next Wednesday. We've got a bunch of stuff precast, but we are looking for some more people to join our merry band. Come audition for us. And I will, as soon as I have a link, let people know.
That sounds amazing. I have Vilification Tennis coming up at the end of this month, which is rapidly approaching.
Yes.
Yep. And it just, based purely on the amount of effort that is going into this show, it promises to be real fucking good. And,
wait, you guys are putting effort into shows now?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. And,
Will wonders never cease.
We're looking at doing some stuff that is maybe even a little more offensive than usual. So, so there's that. Unusually offensive, let's say.
I'm biting my lips and I'm going to ask you a question after this.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Obviously, come see us out at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Oh, hell yeah.
But then a couple weekends after Minnesota ends is Gathering of Rogues and Ruffians in Baraboo, Wisconsin, which is the second weekend of October.
Yay!
I have a stage schedule now. All of my shows are in the fucking Hippodrome!
Woo!
Hippodrome!
Yeah!
Hippodrome and Circus World.
Nice.
Fuck yeah. I think we have things finalized, but things could still change, so I won't announce times just yet. But I will be there.
I think if they played Volley Club in there, that salsa would just implode.
No. No. No, 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 no. Not in the Hippodrome. That's sacred ground, motherfucker.
That was my implode
okay.
noise.
Okay, but follow-up question. Don't you?
No, that's fucking sacred ground, motherfucker.
Okay.
So anyway.
Thank you so very, very much to Stefan for sending in a Fast Five.
Yeah.
Thank you to all of you for listening to this show and keeping us going and feeding our souls. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, thank you very much. Eat the fucking cake.
Bye, love you, bye.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha. Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.